Hey everybody, Bob Babbitt here. This is Breakfast with Bob. We're in beautiful Nice, France. We're brought to you by Velofix, Polar, UCAN, Active, Premium Plus Sports Travel, Hotel West End. I am honored to have with us right now one of the greatest triathletes in history, 70.3 world champion, Xterra world champion, a multiple time ITU world champion. Please give it up for the great Javier Gomez.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.
Javi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm very well. Thank you.
So you last week, ITU World Championships. So you were 11 times on the podium at ITU World Championships?
Yeah, after last year doing long course, I decided to give it one last try to the Olympics. So yes. I was more focused on short distances this year.
Yes.
But I'm pretty happy with my season finishing on the podium and not officially, but hopefully qualified for the Tokyo Olympics.
For Tokyo Olympics.
So yeah, I've had a lot of fun this year.
How many Olympics will this be? If it happens.
Only the third, actually.
Yes.
Because I missed Rio due to a bike crash.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah.
And you've got a silver.
I got a silver and a fourth place in Beijing, so
yes.
I still believe I can be competitive there. That's why.
Well, and when I was looking at your, if you add up the total number of seconds that you were out of winning a gold for both those Olympics, mm-hmm. it wasn't very many. It was like 20 seconds total or something like that.
Yeah, not very far. Definitely, Beijing was a sprint finish, four of us, and in London I was only like, I don't know, 10 or 8 seconds behind Alistair. So
yes.
It was pretty tight. Yeah.
Well, and especially when you look at that 2008 race, and all of a sudden Simon Whitfield just takes a flyer off the front, right? And that sort of came, because he was dropped, and then all of a sudden he got back, and he goes off the front. And did that take you by surprise?
Yeah, he was dropping all the race, but we all knew how fast he is in the last few hundred meters.
Yes.
And to be honest, I had a pretty bad race there. I was injured. I didn't have a great run. The year before in a test event, I had run faster than what they ran for doing the gold. So I was really disappointed with that race. Not in London, for example, that I know I did my best. I had my best possible race.
Right.
And I finished second. That's totally fine. You know, Alistair was just stronger than me. But in Beijing, it was hard because I know I didn't have my best race.
Right. And you have raced Alistair a few times.
A few times. For over 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So seeing him come into the 70.3 distance now, and he's doing Kona, has he asked you for any tips on Kona?
No, not really. And I think he knows what to do there.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, I said it many times, he's the best athlete I ever raced.
Why? What is it about him?
I don't know. When he's fit, he's just faster than anyone else over this sprint distance, Olympic distance, probably 70.3. Kona, my personal experience, a different thing, and you need to get used to the conditions there.
The heat and type
of racing. It doesn't really matter how fast you can run. It's just a matter of nutrition and pace yourself properly. So, but if he does that all right,
yes.
I think he can be successful, and definitely for 70.3, and especially in a course like this, he's the one to beat for me.
He's the one here?
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah,
and does this course suit you? It's a challenging course, and you like them when they're
hard. It's a challenging course, and I like this kind of courses better than flat ones.
Yes.
But we'll see. It's not a typical 70.3 World Championship course, but it's a really good one, really honest. So I'm excited about it.
And it's also a nice mix because you've got some of the Ironman guys, and then you've got your ITU guys, and then you've got some 70.3 specialists.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the most competitive World Championships of the year, you know, because you have some of the best ITU, some of the best Ironman, the best on 70.3. So we all get together on this distance and on this course, and it's going to be a tough one.
When we talk about classic races in our sport, last year's race in South Africa was, I mean, it's, we were talking about it earlier, it's like the Mount Rushmore of great athletes with mm-hmm. yourself and Alistair Brownlee and Jan Frodeno and then Ben Canute as well. And all you guys swam 21, all of you ran 204, and then Jan goes 106, Alistair 107, 108. If someone told you before the race, those were your splits, you're going to run 108, you have to be thinking, I won the race.
Yeah, especially considering that I even walk on the run, so and still went 108.
I had
really bad stitches, and I had to stop, and then got back into the run and
108.
And still 108. Yeah, the first 10K I think was 32 minutes, like 31:40 something.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know it in the midst of it that this is a, because you've done a lot of races.
Well, you feel it. I didn't even have a watch, but you feel that you kind of the pace you were running, and it was more like ITU race than 70.3 race.
Yeah.
And the bike was, you know, because it wasn't flat, and that road was really bumpy as well, and still rode 204. So, yeah, it was a very competitive field.
We just had Ben Knud in here, and 2 years ago in Chattanooga, he did everything right. Right, he had a great swim, a great bike. He ended up running like 116, and put himself in a position where if you didn't run like 110, something in that ballpark, you don't win the race. It's one thing to run 110; it's another thing to run 110 when you have to run 110.
Yeah, definitely, especially on a course like Chattanooga, which was over 300 meters ascent positive. So that was probably my best run, 70.3. It's not especially fast because of the course.
Right.
But it was a brutal course.
Yes.
And I had to run that fast to win the race.
Yes.
And Ben did an amazing job, yeah.
And when you look back at all the, because you've been racing since you were a young guy. You know what I'd forgotten about? There was a period when you were young where they wouldn't let you race because of the heart issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was.
Did you have to go to court to get?
Not really, but almost. I had to. Yeah, it was a big fight against the Federation and the Spanish Institute.
Were they just worried about your health?
At the beginning, yeah. But then we proved that we went to different doctors, not only in Spain, in England, many places, and we proved that I could race without any risk for my health. So then it started, you know, a big fight in the offices against
politics.
The Federation. Politics. And
yes.
It took a long time, a couple of years. Like all my junior years, I never raced a junior world championship, even though I probably was good enough to win the mix
to win it.
But I don't know, probably now that I see it, it's probably made me stronger, you know, after the years. And I just appreciate the fact of being on the start line and be able to race and give my best.
For somebody who's been racing as long as you have, and you've raced, you know, world championships and Olympics, to go to Kona for the first time, I know you didn't have the race you wanted to have. Was it still a pretty cool experience?
Yeah, that's why I want to go back there, because I didn't have a great race.
Yes.
I know I can do better. I don't know how
no
good.
No question.
I don't know if I can win the race or not or whatever, but I'm sure I can do better than what I did. And it's a very challenging course, and I have a lot of respect for the guys who are at the front, because it's not an easy race. And as I said, it's not a matter of only being fast or being a good swimmer, good cyclist, good runner. You have to be really good in those specific conditions,
right.
and that's not easy.
When you look back at your career, do you have one race that you say that was the best Javier Gomez has ever been?
There are a couple. Well, yeah. Chattanooga World Championship
was
one of them for sure. And ITU, I'm really proud of the grand final in London, that sprint finish against Jonathan Brownlee, because it was the last race of the World Championship in London against a
guy who's from there.
Yeah, and not the one who won that race was going to be world champion. And after seven races around the world, it all came to the last 100-meter sprint finish. So it was really exciting. Yeah,
that is so cool. And after, so are you thinking Kona again in 2021?
Yeah, definitely. I want to try again, and probably after the Olympics, I don't know, maybe 2020 already or 2021, I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right, because the Olympics.
The Olympics are in July, so it's not that I have much time, but could be good to get some more experience, the race in the Ireland, and try to give it a proper try in 2021.
But the hard part of that is you're doing the balance, because now to go to Kona, you got to do another Ironman.
That's right.
That's the hard part. It's not like, hey, I'm Javier Gomez, let me enter.
Not only do it, but you have to do it well.
You have to win.
You have to win top two depends on the race. So, it's not easy. It's not
right.
easy. And next year I'm going to focus on the Olympics, but after that, Kona will become my main goal.
Have you started thinking post-career? Have you started thinking what happens like 5 years? How much longer do you want to race, and what do you want to do? I mean, you could probably be president of your country if you want. You can do what the hell you want. You'd be president, you'd be prime minister.
No way. I don't want to. I don't want to be involved in politics, but I don't know. I definitely would like to be involved in the sport. You know, I've been doing this for 20 years or so, and I still love it. And I don't think about a retirement yet, as long as I feel competitive. And I still enjoy it. It's the best job in the world.
There's nothing better, right?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for a true legend, Mr. Javier Gomez.
Thank you.
Again, Breakfast with Bob. My name is Bob Babbitt. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.